Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. Of course, we are K Wyman Radio, 1080 on your AM dial, and it will be 50 years in September. Just time flies. And of course, we're now 95.1 FM, The One, broadcasting live from our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota, with plenty of sunshine coming in our studio windows. Oh boy, how'd that snowstorm go for you? I gotta have to admit that we have trouble over on County Road 20. It got plowed, but it got melted, and now we have ruts and ice, and it's very slippery, so be careful in those areas. Look out for that black ice, of course. And today is the middle of the week, and it's the first Wednesday of the week, or no, it's the second Wednesday. My gosh, it's already March 7th. Yeah, first Wednesday, March 7th, 2018. For those of you that are listening in the future, kids, grandkids, or whatever, thanks for downloading our broadcast here this morning. You like that guitar? Well, I've got a guitarist sitting in the studio right now, and besides being a guitarist and singer, he is a guy that works with wood, and we'll be talking all about a fella named Reed Hendershots. And I want to thank my music director for the Wayne Eddy Affair, John Hiscox, for lining up this interview this morning. I am meeting Reed for the very first time, and I get to see which mic he's going to use here. I wonder if that one's going to work for you. Can you get it closer? I don't know. That spring on there is a little tight. Give it a try. There you go. He wants to go back. All right.
Get away from me.
All right. We'll get her done. That's why I... Okay. We're going to talk to this gentleman now, and we're going to also listen to his music and also find out all about him being a guy that does a woodwork. I always admire and respect people that can work with their hands like that. And then, of course, he's also a singer and a guitarist, and I respect and kind of envy those that can do that. So this should be a good show, an interesting show. But first, let's get to know you a little bit. Hi, Reed. How you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm just fine. And Reed, you, of course, were arranged to come here by John Hiscox, and I do appreciate that. And you're a guy that works with woodwork. What all do you do? I know some people that do that.
Well, what I focus on is making useful kitchen items, kitchen utensils like spatulas and rolling pins, small handy tools, and most of my wood comes from the compost site on the west side of town,
mm-hmm.
where people take their yard waste.
Mm-hmm.
They haul it over there, and I haul it back home.
Now, you know wood real well. Like, you can say this is oak, and this is maple, and this is birch, and this is whatever.
Yes, indeed. I've been around wood as long as I can remember. My grandfather had a sawmill up in Mora, Minnesota, and so I grew up around wood quite a bit. What's kind of a joy for me is discovering some of the southern species that I'm not used to, but also finding a lot of buckthorn around.
Oh,
everybody's
yeah.
got buckthorn, and nobody likes it.
Do you want some?
I've got a lot of offers out there, but I've loaded up a lot of wood, a lot of buckthorn, and believe it or not, lilac, because people are clearing out old lilacs, too.
I've done that.
And the lilac wood has beautiful lavender stripes in it. The buckthorn is a deep, rich orange with lots of luster, and it finishes beautifully. So it's fun.
Well, now I don't know anything about what you do in regards to that, but to me it seems like buckthorn isn't very big, you know, and how do you do that with a limb that, or whatever you call it, that's only at the very most maybe 3 inches in diameter?
Well,
not even that.
Yeah, three inch and smaller. Most of that I use for firewood, for my little wood stove in my workshop.
Okay,
but the I am finding buckthorn 5 to 6 inches at the landfill too, or at
wow.
the compost site. And I have a bandsaw, so I can saw it up into slabs and make use of it that way.
Okay, now you mentioned that you make kitchen utensils like spoons and forks and for salads, I would assume.
Yep, yeah, or spatulas for stirring, for stir fries, that sort of thing.
Okay, now, where do you sell them?
I do have some things in the Art Guild just down the street here. I also have some things down in Faribault at Rough Acres Market. And then...
Where is that at?
That's in Faribault on Main Street, on the south end of Main Street, on the west side.
Okay.
Then I also participate
in... Is that Central Avenue?
Yeah, Central, yeah.
Where would that be compared to the Faribault State Bank?
I'm not really sure.
Okay.
I'd be guessing.
Where is it compared to B&J Sewing? Or
if it's just south of a large antique store.
Okay.
That's all I know.
Oh, how about where is it compared to the Paradise?
A couple blocks south.
Towards Northfield.
Yep.
Or south.
South.
Yep. Okay. Anyway,
yeah.
How can you make a living on that?
I make a living being retired.
Oh, you're retired from?
I retired from Georgia Pacific Chemicals. I worked in the wood industry for 35 years in manufacturing, first up in Bemidji, Minnesota, at a potlatch mill that made strand board, which is used for roof sheathing and flooring. And after that, I was the technical director and environmental manager there for my last 6 years up there. And then in 96, I joined Georgia Pacific in their wood adhesives group.
Wooded what?
Wood adhesives. So the glue that's used to make things like particle board and plywood and strand board. I worked in sales and technical service in that. And then my last 10 years was solely technical service, doing statistical software installations and training, teaching mills how to use less natural resources, less wood and less adhesives. And
so would you be an environmentalist?
I guess closeted, yeah. that wasn't my role was to sell adhesives through technical service, but I also could teach people how to save money on it.
You mentioned strand about 3-4 times. What is strand?
Strand board is, you can see it on the new hotel going in town here.
Yeah.
It's the wall sheathing that they're using, and it's reconstituted hard product that's exteriorated, that's made from thin strands of wood that would maybe usually be used for pulp. That wood is now glued back together and turned into exterior sheathing.
In what size? 8x?
4x8s.
4x8?
Yeah. Most of the plants that press them, that make the board, press 8x24 sheets. So there's at a time. So there are mills that make...
Did they deliver them at 8x24, or did they then cut them up?
It's sawed up to 4x8.
Now, if I were to go and drive by the hotel that's being built on 2nd and Water Street, Highway 3, the exterior that I'm seeing right now, that is strand board?
It's oriented strand board.
And so somehow, some way, your company and others discovered a way to use this waste material that used to be, and it becomes a product that serves better, lasts longer, is tougher, and more easily installed.
Yep, I think it's been well met in the market. I think well received, because it's been around since we first started making it in northern Minnesota in 1981, and that's about late 1980, early 81 is when it first came on the scene.
Okay, now, once again, a fellow by the name of John Hiscox was so kind enough to accept my request that he be a music director for the Wayne Eddy Affair and let us know about talented individuals and have an opportunity for them to perform live on radio, one of the minimal situations based on broadcasting, having a guy come in or a woman come in, play their instruments, sing their songs live on a radio station. And, you know, the fun part is when you... download it onto your computer or whatever, and be able to listen to this the next generation who will say, really, did Grandpa do that? I didn't know that. So to establish your talent, how many songs do you think you'll want to perform this morning?
Well, I have probably 10 along.
Oh, good, good. All right. Now, this is going to be all live, no CD disc or anything. And are you going to play anything that people will recognize?
Well, I do have some tunes from... I do mostly folk music, and so I have things from back when I was 10 years old, mm-hmm. by Tom Paxton. I have newer Tom Paxton stuff. I have Bill Staines has been a great influence for me, a lot of great songs, and Kate Wolfe and Greg Brown from Iowa.
Okay, now, those names are not well-known except among individuals like yourself. And, you know, I know the way you're saying it, that they're really good people. But are there any songs that I'll recognize or the common people? I always think that bands should do a cover so people realize how good they are. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm asking,
okay.
Basically. Do you have
I think you've probably heard a number or a few of these. A lot of the artists whose music is spoken to me are from the early years of Prairie Home Companion.
I heard
them on that show. But this, like, the first one I'd like to do is a Tom Paxton tune called I Can't Help But Wonder Where I'm Bound.
Okay. Does that sound like a religious song?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
But you could look at it that way.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. You go ahead and tune up your guitar, which I saw you doing out in the green room. And I'll turn on the proper audio equipment and it's your turn to go ahead. And ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to Reed Hendershot on the Wayne Eddy Affair.
It's a long and dusty road. It's a hot and a heavy load, and the folks I meet ain't always kind. Some are bad and some are good, some have done the best they could, some have tried to ease my troubling mind. And I can't help but wonder where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Can't help but wonder where I'm bound. And I can't help but wonder where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Can't help but wonder where I'm bound. I've been wandering through this land, just doing the best I can, trying to find what I was meant to do. And the people that I see look as worried as can be, and it looks like they are wandering too. And I can't help but wonder where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Can't help but wonder where I'm bound. And I can't help but wonder where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Can't help but wonder where I'm bound. Well, I had me a buddy back home, but he started out to roam, and I hear he's out by Frisco Bay. And sometimes when I've had a few, his old voice comes ringing through, and I'm going out to see him some old day. And I can't help but wonder where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Can't help but wonder where I'm bound. And I can't help but wonder where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Can't help but wonder where I'm bound. And I had me a girl one time. She had lips like cherry wine, and she loved me till my head went plumb insane. But I was too blind to see she was drifting away from me, and my good gal went off on the morning train. And I can't help but wonder where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Can't help but wonder where I'm bound. And I can't help but wonder where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Can't help but wonder where I'm bound. If you see me passing by, and you sit and you wonder why, and you wish that you were a rambler too, just nail your shoes to the kitchen floor, lace them up and bar the door. Thank your stars for the roof that's over you. And I can't help but wonder where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Can't help but wonder where I'm bound. And I can't help but wonder where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Can't help but wonder where I'm bound.
That is a Tom Paxton song, and yes, I have heard it before. But you know what I really enjoyed is when you were doing the chorus, or whatever you call it, doing where I'm bound, about six times. Do you know that you were looking all around? Mm-hmm. As you're doing, I cannot help wondering where I'm bound. You were looking at everything in the studio. Mm-hmm. That must have been going in your... That's feeling the song.
Well, that's right. Most of the songs I pick have some kind of meaning. I've enjoyed studying lyrics for a long time. I also have used this song in interesting situations. I also volunteer for hospice and do hospice music and companionship through the Northfield Hospital Group, and it's an honor to do that sort of thing. But I've seen where this song has been interesting and enjoyed by people.
Sure. Well, one of the things that a big hero of Minnesota is Zimmerman from the Duluth area, Bob Dylan. And I have to tell you that although he led hundreds and thousands of people in the 60s and 70s, I just don't think he can sing very well, number one. And number two, his words are so weird. And I think most people don't really listen intently to the words of popular music, for example. Or maybe they do. But my favorite song from Bob Dylan is, I think it's called Big Brass Bed. You ever heard that one?
Oh, yeah.
I like that song. And the other stuff, you're blowing in the wind, of course. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. So you are a amateur, or do you also perform for money?
It's been a long time.
A long time since? Okay.
When we lived up in Bemidji, we were involved in a little Celtic band. We like Irish music and Scottish music, and we got to play traditional music up there in a group for a number of years before we left there. And so, no, I don't play for money.
How about do you have work with a band now, like Last Chance or any of them?
We get together. I get together with John and John Hiscox and several other local musicians. We do acoustic music socials sometimes, and it's more favorable to do them in the summer when we can gather outside at someone's home. And we'll just kind of take turns in a big circle and go around like a traditional jam session. Go around and each offer a song or a instrumental piece, and we each can learn from each other and back each other up. So that's kind of fun.
When you do that, do you ever join in to whoever's the lead?
Oh, you bet. Okay. You bet. Yeah, you're welcome to collaborate.
All right. Our guest this morning on Kim Radio is Reed Hendershot. I got that right. Tell me about that Hendershot. It sounds German.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
According to the records that have been handed down, that name came from Bavaria to the U.S. into New Jersey in 1710. At the time, it was von Hendershot, and they were violin makers. And that's legendary because I have never seen a violin from any of them. But anyway, they moved across New Jersey into Pennsylvania, into Ohio, and some settled in Minnesota eventually.
How do you know all that?
Well, there have been several people in our past, like in my grandfather's time, that recorded stuff down.
Good for them.
Written stuff down. So there's that, and then the Scandinavian side. My mother's side didn't come over until the late 1880s. And started, he came as a young man. John Thielander came as a young man.
Thielander?
Yes. He was a lumberjack, and he worked on the St. Croix, rafting logs down.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out, I learned last spring, that he worked with our friend Bill McGrath's grandfather.
I know him.
Yeah. And
cool. Is that in Stillwater?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Bill was from Stillwater.
You bet.
Lived in a big house in Stillwater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It amazes me I remember some stuff like that. But we of course, this is an interview all about you, and the bonus is that you're a musician, and we want you to play more music, but I also like to kind of find out who you are. But before we even do that, that is a beautiful guitar, and I bet you can tell me things about it.
Well, yeah, I can. It's just a fine six string made by Taylor Company in California. I bought it in 1997, and I've banged it around a little bit here and there, but it's holding up pretty well.
And, 1997. It's 07-17, so it's 21 years old.
Mm-hmm. It's just getting broken in.
So. Yeah, really. What's it made of?
It's Sitka spruce top and rosewood back.
Oh, you're beautiful. So yeah.
It's lovely to look at.
How much did that cost?
Oh, more than I should have paid.
But, I mean, it's interesting to people to know.
At the time, it was about $1,400.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's almost the top end, isn't it?
Oh, it's a Taylor? Not anymore. Not anymore. Oh. Yeah. But I wanted something that would last a long time.
Is that what it's about? Not the looks and what it's made of?
Yeah. Well, it's the playability.
Okay.
Is what I like.
Well, I'll tell you what. It is beautiful,
and thank you.
Probably is worth a lot more. All you have to do is ask Randy Ferguson. You know Randy, don't you? You don't?
I don't think so. No.
Oh, he'll be on my show here a little bit later on this week. You'd enjoy him.
Okay.
He is a classical guitar guy,
okay.
And he has guitars that are 100 years old, and then he plays them all. He's been on my show before, and he comes in and shows them, and it's pretty good. By the way, it's 28 minutes after 9 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair, and I got to remind people, if you're hungry and you want breakfast, you have till 10 o'clock to go to the Quarterback Club, located on Highway 3 and 3rd Street. They are in their 50th year, and it's locally owned and locally managed. And, boy, I'll tell you what, anybody I talk to about the Quarterback Club has nothing but good to say about it, whether it's about their breakfast and your choices or their prices or the location or the parking or their flame-broiled burgers or their roasted chicken or their baby-back barbecued ribs with mountains of madness just oozing all over them in the form of a special sauce. You got to get to the QB, the Quarterback Club, on Highway 3. Hello again to our guest this morning on Kim. His name is Reed Hendershots, and he has a business called Reed Hendershots Woods, and he makes things that are, I suppose, artistic, and has them available at the Northfield Arts Guild. Kitchen utensils like spoons and spatulas and spaghetti stuff, I suppose, and we'll find out how he got into that in a complicated way. Not so much a carving background as a background on making wood in an inexpensive way that will be very long-lasting. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure.
So where were you born?
I was born in Mora, Minnesota.
Mora?
Yep. Up Highway 65 or up Central Avenue and just keep going.
No, they had a local radio station there. Mm-hmm. Did you listen to that local radio station when you were a young man?
Sure.
Okay.
But I listened to WDGY out of the cities more and, was it WLS?
WLS out of Chicago.
I could get them at night on my transistor radio tucked under my pillow.
WLS in Chicago.
That's right.
And, of course, WDGY. And did you ever get KDWB? yes. out there in Morrow.
Yep.
Channel 63.
Mm-hmm.
They both have changed a great deal.
No, I'm sure.
6:30 and 11:30 on the dial. Morrow, Minnesota is a town that is a good town. I mean, it's not very big, but they stick together and they mm-hmm. get some fine athletic teams out of Morrow.
Oh, yeah. And they also host the Vasalopet ski race up there every year, which is well attended. But the town now, I think, is around 3,500 people. And I have a sister up there who may be listening. So a shout out to my sister, Colleen.
On the streaming?
Yep.
Good for her. What's her name?
Colleen.
Hi, Colleen. How you doing? You want to give us a call and tell us if he was a good brother? No, don't call us. Is she older or younger?
She's just a little bit older.
By a year and a half?
About 3 years.
Two
and a half years.
Sir. Are you the only two in the family?
Yep.
Okay. And her name is?
Her name is Colleen.
Colleen.
Yep.
Did she have a nickname like Call?
Nope.
Okay. And she's 3 years older than you?
Yep.
Okay. So tell me about your mom and dad.
Well, my father was a carpenter, and when we were little, we had dairy cattle. We had Holsteins, favorite cow in the world, and as my wife would say, black and white cows. But loved those cows, but there wasn't much money in milk on the little farm, so we only had 40 acres, so it was hard to feed yeah. cattle, and my dad decided to go back into building. And became a finishing carpenter, doing interior woodwork stuff, and then became more interested in framing, and then in his later years in building pole barns, that sort of thing.
Was he a salesman and then build them?
No, he just would build them.
Okay.
He would just build them and provide the materials as a contractor, he and two of his brothers-in-law.
Your uncles?
Yeah. One of the stories there is he used a big auger on the back of his tractor to dig the post holes. And he was on this old farm where the old barn had fallen down. He was building a new one. And so he's digging with his big auger, and he sees this coffee tin come up with the lid on it. And he thinks, I wonder if there's anything in that. Picks it up and it shakes it, and it's full of coins. And he's thinking, this is my payday.
Yeah.
Well, he opens it up, and it's full of bar tokens, free for one good drink, free for one drink at Millie's Tap on some street in Minneapolis. So they're probably from the 30s and 40s, just these little tiny yeah. tokens. And it was a whole can full of them. So I ended up with those. But
did you ever find Millie's?
No, it's so long gone.
Okay.
The streets have probably changed by
How
then.
Disappointing, huh?
Yeah, it was a little let down, but it was yeah. kind of exciting.
Was your mom, your grandmother a housewife?
My grandmother.
On your dad's side?
On my dad's side, yes. Yes, okay. She was.
What about on your mom's side? What was her maiden name?
Her maiden name was Thielander.
Know where you're sitting right now? You're sitting in Thielander Drugs Store.
Okay, and I remember reading about that.
Yeah, this building right here was the first medical art building in Rice County. And Dr. Kuchera, Stanley Kuchera, some people say, started it. And offices were upstairs, and I always thought, those poor people that had trouble, with their lower limbs or whatever, to have to walk up those stairs. But anyhow, right here where you're at would have been, I think, the magazine rack. I'm not sure.
Okay.
And then behind you would have been the fountain.
Oh,
the soda
wow.
fountain.
The soda fountain.
Back in the days. And it was Norm Thielander,
okay.
who took up motorcycling late in his life.
Wow.
And Chuck Stangler was his partner. Then they moved up to where Sterling is
yeah.
and called it Village Drug and had a Bridgman restaurant attached
Ooh,
to it.
Bridgman's Ice Cream.
Yeah. So they both lived up in Mora, mm-hmm. both sides of your grandparents.
Yeah.
Did you have any special relationship with them? Were they farmers and you helped them in the summer, spring, and fall?
Mm-hmm. On my mother's side, they had the family sawmill that after my grandfather was done working on the river, he built his own sawmill, and he also was a fur buyer back in the day. And I would go up there and stack slabs in the sawmill sometimes, but not very often because I was pretty little when there. But my uncles were still running the sawmill, and one of my cousins still is able to run it now.
Well, what is the size of a sawmill?
Oh, I don't know how to describe it. I mean, they provided a lot of lumber for the farm building around that in the early 1900s. I'm sure they were the main source of lumber.
Were they on a river?
No, they were on a small lake.
Okay,
it was just about 5 miles north of Mora. On Tealander Lake, of all things, and then so it's about a mile from the Snake River,
okay,
which flows into the St. Croix.
So compared to Menards in regards to size,
this is just tiny. It's like a backyard sawmill.
So a two-man operation,
probably six people.
Okay. Yeah. And then they would get trees, trim them down, and make them into plywood or whatever?
No, they'd make solid sawn lumber.
Like 2x4s?
2x4s, 2x10s.
Yeah. Okay. Now, did they sell them to, like, a Lamperts or?
No, I think all of their stuff was probably before. It was probably just all sold locally.
Okay. All right. Now, as a little kid, that had to be fascinating to go into a sawmill and see those logs come in and have mm-hmm. them shaved and shaped.
Yep.
And the smell must have been really good, and the noise must have been horrible.
The noise was screeching, but you know that's not one of my memories. My memories of the smell of fresh sawdust.
Yeah.
It was wonderful, especially when they were sawing oak.
Now, did they provide sawdust to the bars that used to throw that stuff on the floor?
Oh, I'm sure they did, because I know they hauled it down to downtown Mora. There was in my memory anyway, there was a little store called Frickman's, and he sold furniture, but he also sold ice. And as a kid, we would go up to Knife Lake, which is about 7 miles north of Mora, and we would cut ice and bring blocks. My dad would load the truck up with ice, and we'd bring it into town, and he'd sell ice on Saturdays.
And, of course, sawdust was used to keep it refrigerated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great.
So how many cows did you have?
I think maybe 18.
Okay.
I'm guessing now.
What were you using at the time? Were you into, like, De Lavelle or Surge or any of those that helped the farmer? Or were
Surge.
Surge?
I remember Surge.
Do you remember when your dad got that? Or was it there when you were?
It was there when I was.
Yeah.
When
so
I
you was never had a milk by hand?
No.
No.
And I remember the cows, and then I remember not having cows. And it seemed like I must have been pretty little through all of it.
Okay.
So it was very early. But my mother was an English teacher, and she taught, believe it or not, I mentioned Bill McGrath before, but she taught her first year in the town of McGrath, which is named after Bill's grandfather. And that's how, you know, Bill and I first started talking about it. But then she taught in Hinckley for 30 years.
Oh, well, I know she knows somebody there by the name of Mike Patterson. Who is in the Duluth Hall of Fame for his basketball deal.
Oh, I'm sure.
And him and I hung around going fishing and stuff back in the 90s. And good guy.
There you go.
From Hinckley. He's actually from Aiken.
Okay.
But that's pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Our guest on the Wayne Eddy Affair, Reed Hendershot, and he is a musician and retired from wood stuff, and we'll talk about that. But he also is artistic in regards to making wooden kitchen utensils. Anything else that you make besides that?
Yeah, I do make wine stoppers or olive oil bottle stoppers and tap handles for people that have kegerators at home and would like a nice fancy wooden handle.
When they kegerators.
Pull. Yeah.
I've never heard that before, but I know what it is.
I know. It's just a little refrigerator that you can buy the little kegs for. And it seems like it would be way too handy.
Yeah, okay. Speaking about handy, I have to take a break on the Wayne Eddy Affair while my guest figures out what song he wants to do next on Kim, a friend you can't count on. We will be back in a flash right after these messages.
Don't miss the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday at the Ames Arena in Lakeville, off Highway 50 in Apava. See up to 150 home improvement experts. The Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday only in Lakeville. It's the smart place to start your next home improvement project. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
You buy something because you got it for a low price, and soon you realize it's no bargain because you really needed something better. It happens all the time, especially with car insurance. But the good news is you can get the right coverage at the right price. Just talk to me, State Farm agent Mark Quinnell. I'll help you get the right coverage at a price that's right for you. Call me at 645-4545 today.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Providing insurance and financial services.
We're back live and in color on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio on this Wednesday morning, March 7th, and the year is 2018. And my guest this morning is a fellow by the name of Reed Hendershots, and he's retired, and we're going to talk more about that later on, but I like to listen to his music, and he's going to play the guitar, and he's going to play another song. Tell us what genre that you would be considered, folk?
Yes.
All right, so folks, folk singers in studio, tell us about the song you're going to sing.
Looking at these old folk songs that I like to sing, they're not really old, 80s and 90s and 70s and 60s, there always seems to be heartbreak, you know, not like pickup trucks and dogs and that sort of heartbreak, but there's always a lost love someplace, and this one is called Music to Me, and it's by Bill Staines.
All right.
There was a time gone by when my heart brushed the sky, and simple love was the love I knew. We walked as one back then, untouched by why or when. Now once again I remember you. We danced, we clicked our heels, we dreamed in feathered fields, and we told the stories that lovers tell. You sang the songs I knew and made them all seem true with a voice that I loved so well. Did I ever tell you your name was music to me? Did I ever show you from the start? Did I ever know you would fly away? Did I ever offer you my heart? Ah, but we were younger then, and touched by restless winds. Soon vivid colors of love turned blue. Now I wonder how you've grown and run the roads you've known. And once again, I remember you. Did I ever tell you your name was music to me? Did I ever show you from the start? Did I ever know you would fly away? Did I ever offer you my heart? So time has come and gone, you sing another song, yet I still linger beneath your spell. And how I long to hear those words you whispered near with the voice that I loved so well. Did I ever tell you your name was music to me? Did I ever show you from the start? Did I ever know you would fly away? Did I ever offer you my heart? Did I ever tell you your name was music to me? Did I ever show you from the start? Did I ever know you would fly away? Did I ever offer you my heart?
All right, live and in color from the studios of KYMN Radio in downtown Northfield, Minnesota. You're listening to The Wayne Eddy Affair, and my guest this morning is Reed Hendershots, and he is, of course, obviously a musician. It was a Bill Staines song. Have you written your own music? Most people that do your thing also write, and have you... Respond to me.
No, I have not written.
Oh.
I have not written any.
Haven't you been tempted?
Oh, I have been, but there's so many other things to do.
Yeah.
I mean, there's fishing.
Okay.
There's fishing. There's gardening. There's a new dog.
What do you like fishing? What do you like to go after?
Oh, just about anything. Living around Bemidji for 24 years, walleye fishing was kind of king. I mean, that's... Where we lived, there were five lakes within, 3 miles of the house that I could fish at. And I was working rotating shifts a lot of the years up there, so I could go on Wednesday morning and I'd have the lake to myself. And it's kind of a luxury. But around here, we've been out with a canoe on some of the small lakes down around Faribault and southwest of here, and enjoying just paddling around and... trying to find anything, but we like to camp up in northern Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, tent camping, and looking forward to some little spots that we've got picked out up there that we've fished successfully last year. My wife outfished me again, but that's
what's
okay.
The biggest walleye you ever snagged?
31 and a half inches.
That's a nice one.
Yeah, it was nice.
But that'd be about 5 pounds?
No, it was four? About 11.
Oh, excuse 11. Me, yeah. My thinking just went screwy there. Oh, boy. Sorry. You ever go after smallies?
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's the one I like to
catch.
Yeah,
they're the most fun. They're the most fun.
Especially on a fly rod.
Oh, it's nuts.
Ultralight. Unbelievable.
Yeah. We lived over by Ashland, Wisconsin for 5 years, and Shawamigan Bay, right there on Highway 2 in Ashland, has a lot of smallmouth bass in it out by their rock jetty. And the... you're allowed to keep one, but it has to be over 22 inches.
A smallie?
A smallie. Huh. Over 22 inches is, that's...
Well, that's okay, because they don't taste that good.
No, and but that's like 7 pounds.
Yeah, it's like, how many of those? What's the biggest smallie you ever caught? I wrote down mine, so...
Okay, well, I have caught a 22 and a half up in Ontario. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I let it go, though.
I catch and release, period. Unless we're doing shore lunches up north,
yep.
Camp and all that.
Yep, the small ones are very tasty.
I just threw my pen down in disgust.
Oh, no.
Because you said 22 and three quarters?
22 and a half, yeah.
Okay, mine was 19 and three quarters.
And that's big.
On a fly rod.
Oh.
On the Mississippi. And it took off for its hole.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. It took about 10, 12 minutes to get it in.
Oh, I'll bet.
But how long did it take to get your big 5-pounder?
Oh.
What were you using?
It was 10 minutes. I was using slip bobbers and leeches.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, the leech man.
Yeah. Oh, come on now.
All right. Our guest this morning on KYMN Radio is Reed Hendershot. And where do you live, Reed?
I live on the south end of town, South Northfield. So it's, if you go down County Road 3 or Highway 3 and you go east on County Road 1 up over the hill, I'm on the north side of the hill.
Okay. That I remember that when that was being developed, that area there, if you go down the hill, take a left.
Yeah.
After you go by that big development on the right.
Yeah.
You're going to have a problem this summer.
We're looking forward to a lot of camping out of town.
Yeah. Now tell the folks what's happening out there, at least what they tell you.
What we know is that our intersection is going to be lowered 10 feet and turned into a roundabout.
Oh,
and as people that live there and try and pull out, with people coming up over the hill that you can't see, and they're going 55 miles an hour, it's every day is a hazard.
You know what? Exactly. I live on the same thing on County Road 20.
Okay.
And you can't see the car coming to your left because it's a hill. Mm-hmm. And then you can't see it to the right because it's a curve coming in and a big pine tree. And when the intersection's slippery like they are now, I mean, you look and you look and you look, and you take off and it spins, and finally you get on the pavement and look in the rearview mirror. Yesterday morning there was a big dump truck that was on my tail
by
6 feet.
Yeah, you get kind of surprised that there, all of a sudden there's someone there. So we know it's going to be a mess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as my woodworking stuff, I also participate in the studio art tour, so people can come, and it's the second weekend in October, and people can come to many studios and visit with artists and see what they're doing and how they do it. And so I get to participate in that. It's going to be interesting to see how the roundabout construction affects business, but it's fun. Last year was my first year in that, and I built a little 12 by 20 workshop in the backyard for my work, and I had 175 people come through over the 2 days, and it was just delightful to meet people. And
I'm going to take a break,
okay,
and then do one more song, but probably before 10. And I want to talk about something that about wood before we do the song, all right?
All right.
If you're struggling with weight and frustrated with dieting each and every year, Mark Patrick Hypnosis can help. Join the over 500,000 people who have attended Mark Patrick Hypnosis programs with weight loss results. Mark Patrick Hypnosis will be in Northfield on Tuesday, March 13th. Make that New Year's resolution a reality.
You know, my goal is to lose 30, so I lost, you know, actually more than I ever thought I would.
I can exercise. I am happy with myself. I'm happy with others. But it just changed my life totally around. It was just my last ray of hope.
As of today, I have already lost 48 pounds.
I've lost about 32 pounds.
For only $49.99, lose all the weight you want, 100% guaranteed. Tuesday, March 13th at the Archer House River Inn at 212 Division Street in Northfield. Seminar time is 5:30 to 7:30. Registration begins at 5 p.m. Attend this program and find out how the power of hypnosis can help you achieve your weight loss goals. There's limited seating, so get there early. Learn more at markpatrickseminars.com.
It is 7 minutes before 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair, KYMN Radio, 95.1 FM, The One, and 1080 on your AM dial for nearly 50 years. My guest this morning is a musician and a woodworker, and his name is Reed Hendershot. Reed, do you know a guy that is a really excellent carver that lives over by Circle Lake, and his first name is Dick?
No.
He does beautiful woodwork, birds, eagles, stuff like that. And I have a couple of trees on my property that I told him were weird. And I was going to have one cut down, and I told him I'd sell him a piece of it. And so we downed it, and he bought maybe two pieces of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm anxious to see what he does with it, but they have these big knots on them.
Okay.
Huge knots. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Small burls? Is it covered with round little knobs?
Yeah, big ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, those are often insect burls.
Oh. Well, anyhow, you'll have to come over and take a look at the remainder that's on the ground and see if you want to do anything with
them. Sure.
And they'll give you the same deal I gave him.
Okay.
Now, we are going to take one final break, and then we're going to have our guest play some music. What are we looking forward to?
I'm going to sing a song by Greg Brown from Iowa called Early.
Early?
It's named after the town of Early in Iowa.
E-A-R-L-Y, Early?
Yes.
Okay.
I love Grandpa's new home. There's so much to do. That's right. Millstream Commons helps improve the lives of seniors through all kinds of fun activities. Personalized care from a dedicated and well-trained staff, amazing creative meals prepared fresh every day and served in a social setting, live-to-be-healthy fitness classes, private apartments with all the amenities of home, and a place to continue your relationships with family and loved ones. Millstream Commons, your vibrant life continues here.
Aging Services for Communities is a nonprofit agency dedicated to personalized, non-medical care for families throughout southern Minnesota. They are in need of good drivers to take residents to and from medical appointments in Faribault, Farmington, Lakeville, and Northfield. If you are available to provide transportation assistance, please call 507-317-1050. Learn more about Aging Services for Communities online at aging-services.org.
We're going to take a trip to early Iowa here on the Wayne Eddy Affair. We have Reed Hendershot with us live and in color right here in the studio. And I love doing music on the show when the musicians play their guitars or other instruments and sing their songs. So, ladies and gentlemen, once again, here is Reed Hendershot.
Early one morning, I walked out alone. I looked down the street, no one was around. The sun was just coming up over my home on Hickory Street in a little farm town. And ooh-wee, ain't the morning light pretty when the dew is still heavy, so bright and early. My home on the range, it's a one-horse town, and it's all right with me. The plow broke the prairie gave plenty, the little towns blossomed, and soon there were many. They were scattered like fireflies across the dark night. And one was called Early, and they sure named it right. Cause ooh-wee, ain't the morning light pretty, the dew is still heavy, so bright and early. My home on, it's a one-horse town, and it's all right with me. Many dry summers had parched all the fields. They burnt the fine colors, and they cut down on the yield. But the rain has returned to wash away our tears. It's the fullest green summer that we've seen for years. And ooh-wee, ain't the morning light pretty when the dew is still heavy, so bright and early. My home on the range, it's a one-horse town, and it's all right with me.
Early on the Wayne Eddy Affair, Early, the name of the song, after Early, the town in Iowa. And I have to ask you if your friend who wrote that has it licensed through ASCAP or BMI?
Probably
ASCAP. Well, you have to pay for it because we're not going to.
Okay.
You're supposed to be more receptive to the little humor.
I've got a dollar.
Okay, hand it over, will you please? All right, work that mic for me. We got a minute before the news on KYMN Radio. Once again, I'm going to ask some questions. We talked about Grandma and Grandpa. Did you have a Grandpa and Grandma that you would go to on Christmas Day, or did you go to both of them?
We went to both. On Christmas Eve, we went to my paternal grandparents, and she made lutefisk and Swedish meatballs, and That was Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day we'd go to my maternal grandparents, and she just made meatballs, and I can't remember what else, but so I still make meatballs because lutefisk was not in it in the cards for me.
Well, I'm now eating lutefisk after being married to my wife Julie for 28 years, and I like it. I mean, it was okay now. I mean, it's all mental. I think it's
I do like the flavor. I mean, anything with enough butter is pretty good.
Butter.
But I have we had a bad experience with a friend cooking it in our trailer house when we were first married.
And, well, let's have that story right after the news, all right?
Okay.
Lutefisk on the Wayne Eddy Affair. This is KYMN 1080 AM, 50 years young in September, and KYMN FM 95.1, the one from Northfield, Minnesota.
Wall Street jitters, snarled skies. I'm Michael Toscano. The first moments of trading on the New York Stock Exchange saw the Dow drop over 300 points, with investors concerned over the resignation of President Trump's top economic advisor, Gary Cohn, who disapproves of Trump levying tariffs on imports of steel and aluminum. Things have settled down, with the Dow now off 183 points, the S&P 500 down 16, the NASDAQ has lost 28. Bob Costantini reports the investors are also eyeing Cohn's possible replacement.
CNBC speculates trade representative Peter Navarro, the opposite of Gary Cohn on trade protectionism, and the network's own Larry Kudlow, a Trump supporter, are likely candidates to fill Cohn's chief economic advisor role. That's despite Kudlow disagreeing with steel and aluminum tariffs the president wants to impose. He tweets, "We'll be making a decision soon on the appointment of new chief economic advisor."
Underscoring all this, the Commerce Department reports this morning that the U.S. trade deficit rose in January to the highest level since October 2008. Air travel getting a bit snarled in the eastern U.S. as that nor'easter moving up the coast toward New England is interrupting flight operations at airports from Philadelphia to Hartford already, about 1,600 flights canceled. There may be lots of snow there, but there is less ice and there are warmer temperatures in the Arctic now than last year.
Scientists call it unprecedented, as there's plenty of open water where the ocean normally freezes. Arctic weather stations averaged 8.8 degrees warmer than normal this past winter. Scientists say it's all part of a global warming-driven vicious cycle that's also likely playing a role in the strong, icy storms that have been pelting Europe and the U.S. Northeast. I'm Barbara Cusack.
A shooting in Missouri left one police officer dead, two others injured last night responding to a 911 call. Highway Patrol Sergeant Bill Lowe says the shooter attacked when they responded.
They ended up going inside the residence in an attempt to apprehend the suspect. At that point in time, the suspect shot and killed one of the Clinton police officers.
The suspect is dead. I'm Michael Toscano.
When I get older, losing my head, many from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, AM and FM, from downtown Northfield, Minnesota. Paul McCartney. The Beatles. By the way, the clarinet solo on that is Paul McCartney's dad. When I'm 64, the name of that tune, out in 1967, and they have passed 64 by quite a few years. Matter of fact, I measure my life by the Beatles because we're close in age, and you compare the accomplishments, and you say, Well, we were going to talk about, was it lutefisk?
Oh, yeah. I was
going to tell that story.
I was just a very...
Oh, by the way, what I haven't done.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, my guest this morning is Reed Hendershot, and he lives out in the Dundas Bridgewater area, Northfield, and he is a retired executive with wood-making companies, and he's also a musician, and performs music in basically folk music, and my music director John Hiscox has, I have a hard time saying Hiscox, I asked him if he could send me some musicians, and this is the second one he's done, and I appreciate it. So we were talking about that to your maternal grandmother. On Christmas Day, they served lutefisk, or yeah, maybe you got that wrong.
Yeah, one of them served lutefisk, and then I was just going to say that we don't cook it at our house because when we were first married, we lived in a very small, like 12 by 34 foot trailer house, and a friend of ours from up by Ada, Minnesota, came over, and his last name was Gullingsrud, which was pretty Scandinavian, and he introduced us to rumagrut, and which is like a butter hot porridge, which was great. But then he also tried to cook lutefisk in our trailer house, and the smell was just
overwhelming,
unbelievable. Yeah, we had to have the door open for a week, it seemed like. But
well, my wife makes how do you say it? Rumagrut. Yeah. Well, anyhow, she makes that, and I'm a diabetic.
Oh, that doesn't go so well.
And I love it.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I just shoot up a lot and say, okay, give me that little bowl
Bring it on.
Okay, we are going to play another song before we get on with your life story. This will be the third song, our fourth song that you're singing this morning. We had the song Early by a buddy that wrote it. And you're on a Taylor six-string guitar. Mm-hmm. And we heard a song by a very popular writer, Tom Paxton, and then Bill Staines. What we have coming up now?
Right now, I'm going to give a nod to the local Irish sessions that I also get to play and have that privilege of playing with other people on Monday nights downtown, downstairs, or on the main floor at the tavern.
At the tavern.
It's, 7 to 9 on Monday nights, and every now and then they let me sing a song, so in a nod to that.
Who's they?
The group.
Okay. Is there a name for the group?
No.
Okay.
No, it's just a free open session. Anybody that wants to learn or wants to play can come and have a very, very nice time. It's a very welcoming group. This is by Doogie McLean. It's he's Scottish, and this is one that I like to play. It's about him missing home. I don't know if you can see the changes that come over me. In these last few days, I've been afraid that I might drift away. I've been telling old stories, singing songs that make me think about where I came from. That's the reason why I seem so far away today. Oh, but let me tell you that I love you, that I think about you all the time. Caledonia, you're calling me, now I'm going home. If I should become a stranger, you know that it would make me more than sad. Caledonia's been everything I've ever had. Oh, I have moved and I've kept on moving, proved the points that I needed proving, lost the friends that I needed losing, and found others on the way. Oh, I have tried and kept on trying, stolen dreams, yes, there's no denying. I've traveled far with conscience flying, somewhere with the wind. Oh, but let me tell you that I love you, that I think about you all the time. Caledonia, you're calling me, now I'm going home. If I should become a stranger, you know that it would make me more than sad, 'cause Caledonia's been everything I've ever had. Now I'm sitting here before the fire, the empty room, the forest choir, the flames that could not get any higher, they've withered now, they're gone. But I'm steady thinking, my way is clear, and I know what I will do tomorrow. When the hands are shaken and the kisses flow, then I will disappear. Oh, but let me tell you that I love you,
that I think about you all the time. Caledonia, you're calling me, now I'm going home. If I should become a stranger, you know that it would make me more than sad, 'cause Caledonia's been everything I've ever had. Caledonia's been everything I've ever had.
Caledonia, is that all about Caledonia, the community?
No, it's about Scotland.
Oh, disappointing.
I know.
I thought for sure that was going to be the Caledonia down, I think it's south of here. And I think they had a madam that was real popular in Minneapolis back in the 80s maybe. And ultimately got arrested, big court case. But I think she was from Caledonia. I could be making a mistake.
Well,
10 minutes after 10 o'clock on my show this morning, I have a gentleman by the name of, are you ready for this? Reed Hendershot. Got to get that T in there. And we heard songs by Tom Paxton and Bill Staines and Doogie McLean. And also, we heard the song Early, and he's on a Taylor guitar. And he's a successful businessman, fisherman, musician man, woodworking man. Man, you do it all. You're quite talented. I'm impressed.
I have a lot of fun.
Well, let's find out about your high school years, all right?
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of fun? That was in Mora.
That was in Mora, yeah, you betcha. And my wife accuses me of having many girls that knit scarves for me in high school, but it's not the case. It's not.
Your wife and you went to high school together?
No, we met in college at Bemidji
State. And she said what about?
Oh, she teases me that the high school girls knit scarves for me, so I must have quite a collection someplace.
Knit scarves, yeah. All right. Do you go to reunions and they run up to you and say, Reed, I've got a scarf for you?
No, I haven't actually been to any reunions. I graduated from high school in 72, and I get back there to the town sometimes. I'll be up there tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Well, let me ask you, I have interviewed people more than once because, you know, we just talk about everything, which is great. And then, of course, we have your music, which is great to hear. And you're going to do an original song, I'm sure, today. Now, you're looking at me like, no?
No.
I asked you if you write, and you said no.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. I do not.
How many octaves have you used? Is it limited compared to?
Yeah, it's limited. I used to sing exclusively tenor in choir and and it's dropped some.
Yeah, yes.
As a lot of us, a lot of parts do. So, but I still have a fair range.
Well, let's talk about those high school years.
Okay.
Do you remember them?
Yes.
In little town Mora.
Yep.
Everybody goes to Mora High School. Mm-hmm. What was the name of the teams?
The Mora Mustangs.
The Mustangs.
Colors are blue and white, I think, as I recall.
Now, when you got into high school, were you already playing a guitar?
No, it wasn't until my senior year in high school.
And you graduated in 72, and you could have a good story, because in 72, if you were 18 and out of high school, you got a letter telling you to check in.
Yep.
Drafted. Did you get drafted?
My number on the lottery was 30.
Oh.
And they quit taking people 6 days after I turned 18. And so I had just graduated, turned 18, and they quit taking people 6 days later. So I didn't get called up.
Have to end up in Vietnam.
Nope.
Okay. I was number 326 maybe. But I got rejected because of my eczema. So I was happy to hear that later on.
Yeah.
That was 1964.
Okay, yeah.
14 minutes after 10 o'clock, and our guest this morning on KYMN Radio, Reed Hendershot. And Reed, if I'm going to turn the volume up on you, you're very well, very soft-spoken. And there we go. Work that mic. Tell me, in high school, did you participate in any activities, 4-H or athletics?
No, I still am not very athletic. although I'm coordinated enough to cast a fly rod, but the my focus was on music, choir and band music. Enjoyed that. Early high school, I enjoyed being involved in musical productions.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then my last years, I think I spent in the orchestra pit because that was kind of fun, too.
An orchestra pit for plays?
Yes.
And what instrument?
French horn.
Oh, you know what? That's one of my favorite horns.
Oh, yeah.
When I first heard the French horn, I was very young, but I looked at it, and I said, wow, that is a really cool-looking horn.
It is neat.
And I love the subtlety of it. It's so soft and velvet.
Yep.
And I think of them doing a solo with George Shearing on the xylophone, you know? Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, yeah.
15 past 10 on the Wayne Eddy Affair, and once again, my guest is Reed, and Reed is graduated from Mora. So what plays were you in?
Oh, I think my first one was before I was in high school. It was in Anna and the King of Siam.
Okay.
And I was just one of the little people, and we had to, believe it or not, use black shoe polish in our hair to look like little Asian children.
Okay. And when you got into high school, what plays were you in?
I can't remember.
Really?
No. No, I let that slip away. I've got other things taking up space, I guess. But
in high school, what other things took up space? You said you started the guitar as a senior.
Yeah.
And what are you laughing for?
Well, I'm just trying to think of what plays I might have been in. I might have been Brigadoon. I don't know. I don't remember.
But musicals.
But musicals, yeah.
Okay.
Musicals.
Did you ever have a lead?
No.
Okay, that's probably why you don't remember.
Yeah,
I was
in the background.
Yeah,
and hiding behind the curtain wherever I could.
And singing tenor.
In
group sing. Okay, when a guy is 18 years old and it's 1972, your number's really low, but 6 days later they quit taking people, you're relieved of that. Did your grandparents have, what was their extension of education?
Well, my grandparents, I would guess maybe eighth grade. My father went through eighth grade, and that was it, because he worked on the farm. And, of course, my mother graduated high school at 16 and went to Augsburg College.
Oh, wow.
And I think she started teaching when she was 21.
Okay. So your dad's a small farmer, and your mom is a teacher in Mora?
Nope. She taught in Hinckley mostly.
Okay. So
her pride and joy was that she drew her pension for a year longer than she taught. So she taught for 31 years and then drew her pension for 32.
And this is your grandmother?
This is my mother.
I mean your mother.
Yes.
And is she still with us?
Nope. She passed about a year ago.
I'm sorry to hear that. Is your dad still with us?
Nope. He passed almost 18 years ago.
18? He was young then, wasn't
yes.
he?
Yeah. Yep.
What happened to him?
He had, it was like a stroke.
I can see why you found Monday's show interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Is on the farm, when did you get to drive your first tractor?
Oh, I have pictures of me sitting on my dad's hand on a tractor when I was probably one, but I wasn't driving at that time. But I'm sure by five or six I was driving tractor.
Isn't that something?
Oh, yeah.
And when you think about it, 5 or 6 years old, driving a tractor.
Oh, yeah. My dad was a big fan of Massey Harris tractors.
Okay. What color are they?
They were red.
Okay.
And they were, I think, predecessors to Massey Ferguson.
Yeah.
And made in Canada. And he just loved those tractors.
And steel wheels or?
No.
No, they had rubber.
Oh, they had rubber. Yeah.
So you had to help on the farm every day. Did you have to milk before school and after school?
It was all kind of a blur because I was so little when we were still milking. Because I think we were done milking cows by probably 5 or 6. We were done.
Well, I was wondering if you and Colleen had to get out and do duties before you went off to school. And then I like to ask, what did you have for breakfast? But your mom had to go to school, too.
Mm-hmm.
And your dad, he's out working the fields. or the barn or the animals. So did you do like I did and just make yourself some malto meal? Or
yep, we had of course we had malto meal and farina and but we had boxed cereal too, cornflakes and
Wheaties. They ever send away for anything? Or is that after the... When I was a kid, if you mailed in something and 10 cents, you got a space ring or something like
that? Yeah, I fell victim of the Littleton Coin Company back then, where you send in 10 cents and you get a really old Lincoln penny. And next thing you know, they're sending you once a month, one new coin a month on approval, which means you have to pay for it. And that was not a good thing to learn about.
Okay. Did you read comic books back in those days?
No. You know, it's interesting. I remember listening to Twins games, being very focused on Twins games. And I would, you know, some of the chores on the farm, even in the later, after we got rid of the cattle, I was still picking rocks and stuff, pulling rocks off the field and picking up old fencing and saving that allowance money so I could buy 9-volt transistor radio batteries, because I would invariably put the radio under my pillow to listen to a Twins game and fall asleep and forget to shut the radio up. You know, so
that's a good memory.
Yeah,
you know, one of the things when I have guys or women here and we talk about high school, if they've done any sport, I know there's one play or one incident, one situation that they just never will forget, because they made a touchdown, they prevented a touchdown, they slid a home, and you didn't play athletics. So
no.
What's that moment in high school that you'll never forget? I was thinking maybe it'd be theater or band.
I would say some of the fun of being in high school marching band. And traveling to, I believe we went to Winnipeg.
Wow.
One year to participate in a parade up there. And that was just so fun.
Did you have to raise money? Was that an overnight?
Yeah, we raised money.
Yeah. You know, you'd come to the Defeat of Jesse James Day's parades?
We have participated, yes.
They are unbelievably expensive.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And I don't think people think about that. But some pay to get in. And then you pay somebody to come. And a marching high school band is paid well, and we have to make it a competition. Mm-hmm. And we have official judges that we pay.
Wow.
And then the bands come through. I do the parade announcing and have been for decades. And I was told at the very beginning, I started up along with others, the James Gang Drum and Bugle Corps.
Okay.
I love drum and bugle corps.
Oh, yeah. And very entertaining.
We had one here in Northfield, and we're judged at every parade you go to, and you want to, you know, get some recognition for your efforts and a lot of practicing. So the judges came over one time during a parade and said, "I don't mean to be rude," and he was in a hurry, "I don't mean to be rude, but we're judging these bands, and I would appreciate it if you wouldn't do any announcing during their performance." And ever since then, when they get right down on Bridge Square, the judges are in a pickup truck. One gets down and walks around. I shut up, let them do their do you remember ever winning anything when you were in the marching band at Mora?
I don't remember it being competitive very much.
Oh.
And if it was, it was lost on me. I was in the back with the French horns trying to play that instrument with the little tiny mouthpiece while you're bouncing up and down rough streets.
In good weather.
Yes, in good weather.
Yeah, okay. So anything else in high school that you remember? A speech contest or a essay that you wrote, or chemistry explosion, or
no, there was nothing of note.
Well, you were
except for maybe when we had study hall in the library, and the library had kind of corner turrets on it, so there'd be a little study nook up there, and well, we went up there and made paper airplanes and floated them out on a beautiful spring day, and they landed across the street by the sheriff's office in the courthouse, and then we were summarily sent to the principal's office for that. But that was my senior year, so that was a rebellious moment.
Did more kids have their little keggers before, after, during graduation?
I don't remember any.
Well, that's because you
were there. Yeah, because I was there. You know? No, I was pouring. No, I don't remember that. It wasn't with the group I was with. And
for people that don't know where Mora is, give us a connection to how far Canada border is and elsewhere.
It's 2 hours to Duluth from Mora.
You mean traveling west to east?
If you go, because Mora is straight up Highway 65, so it's 21 miles west of Hinckley on 35. So from there, it takes 2 hours to get to Duluth, or it's 30 miles south of Mille Lacs Lake.
Okay, well, that's nice.
Yeah, so we used to ice fish Mille Lacs.
You know, 65 used to go up by, not where you live, out on the west side of 35. Used to be Highway 65 before the freeway came in 65.
Okay.
Just a little thought that popped into my head.
There you go.
And by the way, my guest this morning on KYMN Radio, Reed Hendershot, lives. You're a 55057, assume.
Yeah, it's Bridgewater Township.
Yeah, you are in Bridgewater Township. Yes. Well, so am I.
There you go.
Hey, we're almost neighbors.
Wow. I'll bring you some rhubarb.
Okay. You can do that. And how about some of that other stuff in the road? Horseradish.
Horseradish. Oh yeah, we grew horseradish when we lived in up by Ashland, Wisconsin, and it was looking like a beautiful crop. And I traveled for work at the time, and I came home thinking, "Oh, this is going to be the weekend. We're going to dig it up." And it had all tipped over, and the ground squirrels had eaten all the roots.
The roots,
yes,
of horseradish.
The good stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. So we didn't get benefit at all.
I have a friend here in town. His name is Dick Seuss. I drove by his house almost this morning. I took a back way to go to a meeting that I was going just to see the progress and all that. And he makes horseradish, and he has a secret place where this horseradish bushes or leaves or whatever are. And he won't tell anybody, and he keeps an eye on it. And when it's ready to go, he goes and digs it with nobody with him.
Oh.
And he makes the best horseradish, if you like horseradish.
Oh, yeah. But it's like having a morel mushroom patch. You never tell anybody where those are either.
Yeah, I think he looks for those, too. Mm-hmm. All right, we've got a gentleman in studio. It's 10:28. I'll take a brief break, and then we'll come back. And you want to do another song?
Certainly.
All right, you're listening to The Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, Kim, 95.1 FM, The One, and 1080 AM radio since 1968.
Does furniture shopping feel like you are a prey being hunted? Around every corner, there is a salesperson ready to pounce. Not at America's Mattress and Furniture to Go in Dundas. You don't have to look over your shoulder as you browse our large selection featuring Ashley Furniture and Serta Mattresses. We will help you when you need it and leave you alone when you don't. Stop into America's Mattress and Furniture to Go in Dundas and see how relaxing furniture shopping can be.
Quality is assured when you deal with Mike at Fox Landscaping. See what a difference new landscaping can do for you. Call Mike Fox at 645-9091 about professional landscape consultation. Fox Landscaping in Northfield.
I'll have to tell you, folks, Mike Fox is one of the nicest persons in Northfield. And I mean that sincerely. He's just a great guy. And I kind of almost watched him grow up from a high school kid to where he is now in a very successful business that he owns. Let's do it. I'll reintroduce. Oh, I forgot that during the break I was going to ask you who you're going to play and what the name of the song is, so go ahead and tell me.
This is another Tom Paxton tune.
Good.
And it's from more recent years. It's called Home to Me.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, live and in color from the studios of downtown Northfield, Minnesota, with his guitar, we have Reed Hendershot. Let's go for it.
Thank you.
Tell the rose not to bloom, the stream to flow. Tell the rain not to fall, the tree to grow. Tell the high summer sky to lose its blue. But don't tell me that I don't belong with you. You could send me away and I would go. I would go, but I would not go too far. You could send me home, but you would know that home to me is anywhere you are. When I met you, there was nothing to decide. It was simply something happening inside. I felt strange for a minute, then I knew that I finally felt complete when I found you. You could send me away and I would go. I would go, but I would not go too far. You could send me home, but you would know that home to me is anywhere you are. There are those who never really know their mind. They're confused and they're not the staying kind. They don't know what they're really looking for. I don't suffer from that problem anymore. You could send me away and I would go. I would go, but I would not go too far. You could send me home, but you would know home to me is anywhere you are. You could send me home, but you would know home to me is anywhere you are.
All right. We are listening live to music performed by Reed Hendershot. And Reed, I was going to ask you, do you perform solos on the guitar? I mean, no singing, just guitar licks?
Not very many.
But I'm thinking most musicians sit at home practicing, if you will, or just in the enjoyment of playing without singing a song. Yeah. And they work it, you know, and do things that are pretty interesting on an acoustic guitar.
I aspire to, but I really like singing.
Okay, so you don't want to try it?
No, it's better left undone.
I'll leave that all up to the gentleman that is a real expert, Ferguson, on the guitars. All right, 10 through 32. We got you through high school, and we learned that in high school you worked on your grandpa's farms and that you worked on your dad's farm. We learned we didn't learn about your first bicycle.
No. It was a Schwinn.
Schwinn?
A Schwinn 24-inch, yeah. It was a lovely bike. And there were a lot of gravel pits near our farm, and my brother and I would ride and go up to the edge and then ride over the edge where the, kind of like riding over the cliff.
Were you pretending to be Evel Knievel?
Yeah, I think it might have been before his time, but but yeah, we took some chances and bent some wheels, and
they weren't the fat tire that they have now.
No.
And did Colleen have a bike before you?
I believe she did.
Your older sister by 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Girl's bike?
Yes.
And did she let you ride it before you got yours?
I can't remember that. No, I don't think she did.
Did you guys fight? I remember sister a year older, and we'd get into it.
Just very rarely. Very rarely. I fought with my older brother. He was older yet. I fought with him more.
I didn't ask you about him.
Yeah.
Oh, so how many kids in your family?
Well, there were four. I had a brother who passed about 5 years ago. And
what was his name?
His name was Mark, and he lived in Minneapolis.
How much older was Mark than
you? He was 4 years older.
Okay. And then came Colleen?
And then came Colleen, and then came me, and then much later, I had a little sister that died shortly after birth.
Oh, okay. Did your neighbor?
Yeah.
Okay. That's kind of sad.
Yeah.
You know, you went through a couple of things there. And, well, we'll talk about the positive things, all right?
You bet.
All right. 10:34 is the time here on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN. And so you get out of high school, the announcement that they're not going to draft you, you're really happy about that. And now what?
And now what? It's time to pick colleges. I mean, I was looking at Concordia up in Moorhead for a while, and I was kind of more interested in sciences, so I went to Bemidji State and moved up there and worked towards a degree in biology for a number of years, maybe more years than I'd care to admit, because I kept finding interesting work-study jobs through the Department of Natural Resources and various grants. This is probably back in Rudy Perpich's day, and kept getting on extended programs, and I graduated in 1981 after starting in 1972.
Wow, 9 years.
Yeah, but there was 5 years of pretty much steady work in the middle, and then...
Did you get a doctorate?
No. I got an undergrad biology degree in a few minors, geology, and stuff.
And you supported yourself through grants, and what kind of work did you do out besides going to school for 9 years?
I did part of it was working as a firefighter for the DNR, smoke chaser, I guess they called them, and we got our little truck and a radio and a pump tank or a tank on the back of the truck, and we'd patrol areas out in the state forest around Bemidji and answer the calls from the fire towers and go and put out grass fires or forest fires wherever. And then I did an internship with the regional office of the DNR up there for the Division of Waters. And I learned surveying skills and how to assess lakeshore permits and irrigation well permits and bridge construction adequacy testing and all kinds of things. And it was fascinating. It was fascinating. I kept getting new assignments and at one point got involved in doing subsoil surveying across the big bog north of Upper Red Lake and going in by snowmobile and taking samples down through the peat bog to see how deep they were and what was on the bottom. And
what was on the bottom?
Well, we actually found remnants of beaver dams from maybe 9,000 years ago.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Were the bones still intact?
Well, the dams, just the chewed wood. We didn't find any critters, but it's fascinating to be involved in that sort of research and flying over it and taking infrared photos from an airplane. And
did you see a lot of animals pop up on that? Moose and deer, bears? And
no bears, but timber wolves, mostly.
Were they at that time just releasing wolves in the wild, or were they still trying to take them out?
No, they were still... They were still very much protected up there.
Okay.
But, yeah, I did. Well, unfortunately, I did a lot of fishing, too. So, you know, because even when you were going to school, Bemidji State University is right on Lake Bemidji, and right next to the football field is a sand point that sticks out into the lake, and you can cast out and be in 30 feet of water very easily. So you can catch walleyes during football games.
Speaking about that, Bemidji went through a situation in regards to recruiting football players. You know what I'm going to talk about?
Yeah, I'm interested to hear.
Okay, well, I'm hoping you can tell me. And they recruited a lot of minorities. And a kid that was born and raised in Detroit, in the projects area, would come to Bemidji and have social shock because, I mean, it's just totally, absolutely different, surrounded by Caucasians, cold, they'd be used to that, but there were California kids, and they built a pretty good football team, And then when these individuals would go into the community, they'd stand out, obviously, and they got themselves in a lot of trouble. And they talked about how this recruiting was going for these northern tier colleges, not only in Minnesota, but across the upper Midwest, and had decided, I think, that if they're going to bring in the best running back, quarterback, or let's say, you know, on defense, some of the best linebackers and all that, that they have to take courses, they have to study, mm-hmm. and they have to pass. Mm-hmm. And you could think that they didn't get picked by the University of Michigan or Ohio State or Stanford or anything. Mm-hmm. So they want to make their mark in a junior college and get recognized because they think the ultimate goal is going to be to be an NFL player. And with that opportunity, they could provide money to the family. Mm-hmm. Okay, so after that introduction, during the time you were there, and you spent 9 years there, for goodness sakes, mm-hmm. did you see that on campus?
You could definitely tell the athletic teams. You could pick them out. I don't remember there being frictions or anything. As a matter of fact, one of the people that was recruited from out east, I ended up working with for 15 years in industry, and
really?
We had a great. A great time working together.
Different culture than yours?
Yes, oh yes.
Okay. Okay, I just wondered about that, yeah. and I think maybe when it was going through the mill, it was after you left campus.
Yeah,
I'm sure it was. One of the things you said you did, getting your education, is something about Shoreline.
Yeah, I worked with, the Division of Waters is tasked with doing evaluations of permit proposals for lakeshore development. So if you own a piece of lakeshore property, you have to follow guidelines by both the Corps of Engineers and the Minnesota DNR. And I was involved in administering the rules of those permits and approving or modifying applications. So that was traveled around the northwest corner of the state, the 17 counties in the northwest region, and got to see a lot of the countryside.
Now, was that the what they just had it? What the contact group that'll come back? But did you deal directly with individual owners that had cabins on the lake and then put on beautiful homes? And were people grandfathered in some cases?
Yeah, I think in some cases, but typically what I would work with were people that had, and sometimes it was involving enforcement, you know, involving the conservation officer, where they would have to go and somebody would report, somebody, other lake owner would say, hey, they've done this and we weren't allowed to do this. And then I'd have to go out and be part of the investigating team, which was very interesting. But you worked directly with the landowners and said, okay, this part's looking good. You know, I see that you're, you know, complying with this rule. But over here, you might want to think about this and, you know, just make suggestions and learn how to, it taught me a lot about getting along.
Yeah. You might think about it or you better do it.
It's my approach was you might want to think about it. And if enforcement was involved, if they didn't.
What was the most thing that was out of compliance?
People filling. People, you know, people love a sandy beach.
Yeah,
you know,
yes.
But biologically speaking, that's not possible on a lot of lakeshore. There's cattails out in front of your place. And the cattails are serving a very valuable purpose of filtering nutrients out before it gets into the lake. And there's a reason that they don't want people to take them out. But you'd see people bulldozing and filling in with sand. Well, in a couple of years, it's going to be cattails because that area of the lake doesn't have doesn't have enough water circulation to keep sediment from building up there, and on it goes. So you got to, people wanting something that was a lot less natural than what could have been occurring.
Well, are cattails good or bad?
Good.
They're good.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of birds land on those things.
Yep.
And
yep.
I think of a hot dog.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when we were little kids, you used to pull them off by the stem and then hit them and all the...
It's just clouds.
Yeah.
Yep.
That used to be fun. And I always remember the black and red bird that had a whistle. And I can't remember what it is, but I remember they always landed on those things as a little kid.
Yep. Red-winged blackbirds.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do they have a whistle?
Yep.
Okay.
I can't do it. But.
Okay. 15 minutes before 11 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair, Reed Hendershot is my guest this morning. And we're talking about his growing up, and we got him through elementary school, and we got him through junior high school, or we got him through high school, where as a senior, he started learning the guitar. So what was your first guitar that you remember?
Oh, I believe it was an Alvarez guitar.
Did you get it as a gift for Christmas or your birthday?
Yeah.
You did. And what was that like? Did they wrap it so you wouldn't notice it?
No, I think we picked it out together.
Oh, okay.
Yep. We went to, we drove all the way to the big town of St. Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when you went in there, did you have your own money? But no, wait a minute. It was a Christmas present. But did they say $25, $100 is the book?
Yeah, they guided it.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it was a what?
Alvarez.
An Alvarez, something like that. It cost what?
Oh, 125 maybe.
Okay, no, even that's kind of expensive.
Yeah, for back then. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Because like I told you about fighting fires, for the DNR when I was starting in college, and we got $1.72 an hour to go out and fight forest fires, and that seemed huge, you know.
Yeah,
it was big money.
Well, working for the state government,
yeah.
You got a pension out of that?
No.
Okay.
No.
Do you have another selection?
I do. This one is another Bill Staines tune, and it's called Roseville Fair. One of my memories of Mora is, even though we only lived 3 miles out of town, I wasn't involved in, like, summer baseball or anything like that, because we were mostly fishing and working on the farm. Or I worked at neighbor farms also, throwing hay bales and straw bales and during haying time. But I remember the county fair as being a big deal.
Roseville.
Yeah. This song is Roseville Fair.
All right.
And by Bill Staines. So let's give it a listen, see if I can do it. Oh, the night was clear, and the stars were shining, and the moon came up, so quiet in the sky. And the people gathered round, and the band was a-tuning. I can hear them now, playing Coming Through the Rye. You were dressed in blue, and you looked so lovely, just a gentle flower. A small town girl, you took my hand. We stepped to the music, and with a single smile, you became my world. And we danced all night to the fiddle and the banjo. Their drifting tunes seemed to fill the air. So long ago, I still remember how we fell in love. The Roseville Fair. Now we courted well, and we courted dearly, and we'd rock for hours in the front porch chair. Then a year went by from the time that I met you, and I made you mine at the Roseville Fair. And we danced all night to the fiddle and the banjo. The drifting tunes seemed to fill the air. So long ago, but I still remember how we fell in love
Roseville Fair. So here's a song for all the lovers. Here's a tune they can share. May they dance all night to the fiddle and the banjo, the way we did at the Roseville Fair. The way we did at the Roseville Fair.
I like that one. I like them all. Division Street Companion. How about that? Yeah, that's what we'll say. Can you cover people like John Denver or Willie Nelson?
I could.
I mean, do you?
Yeah,
I have that in your.
I don't really have it in my list. I have some interesting things. I got some John Prine stuff that I do, and he was. You know, back in early 70s, he came out with some stuff. But I have kind of an interesting mix because I do some of the I have to have some songs ready for the Irish sessions if I'm asked to sing there. But most of these folk songs are just ones that really appeal to me. But if I'm playing with other people and they're playing them, I can play along. I like to add to them if I can.
I don't know what it's called, but when I listen to country music and I also listen to folk music, it seems that the music itself is always really similar to other stuff that you heard. Mm-hmm. And it's the words that people are listening to, like that story just now, Roseville Fair. That was I listened to the words.
Mm-hmm.
But am I right in detecting that there may be the same rhythm and stringing country and folk?
Yep, very. Yeah, it's a lot of them are the same chords, the same chord progressions, just moved around a little bit. I'm playing mostly in C because that's where my voice fits.
Okay.
I used to play in D, so like I said, things are going down.
what's the difference? Can you do that on your guitar?
Yeah, like
do a C, then do a D.
Yeah, so here's D, and C is one full step down.
Oh, okay.
So
if a guy wanted to write a song. He mm-hmm. can just learn that rhythm and melody, if you will, and be able to fit it. You know, like, for example, rap is, you know, you got to get the rhythm of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would assume that that's somewhat similar to folk and to country. And so you could write a song in your head and go to a guy like you and say, play this in D, will you please? And you'd feel the rhythm in the wording. So,
sure.
Okay. Yep. Do you know Craig Wozner?
I don't believe we met, no.
Do you know who he is?
No.
Well, he's one of the nicest guys in Northfield. He's done so much free stuff musically for people. He has a studio out north of town, and he writes and he plays anything.
Hmm.
And he has a brother. I can never remember who's older. I think his brother Pete lives down a suburb of Nashville, and he toured with Van Skill.
Okay.
And then he has, my friend, has a daughter that is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a son that also is musically talented.
Oh, wow.
And Linda, mom of those two, is one of the sweetest ladies.
Yeah.
Have you heard about the every other year rock and roll review the high school kids do?
Yes, I have heard about it.
Well, he's the music director for that.
Oh, okay.
So. I thought I'd tell that. Well, we do have 6 minutes before 11, but guess what? Guess what, Reed?
Yes?
We only have you trying to get your degree for 9 years.
Yeah.
And I want to have you come back with more songs and come back and talk about after you got out of there and that stuff that you're talking about and working in a wood mill and mm-hmm. all that. I don't know anything about that, and I'd like to hear that part of your life.
Sure.
I'd like to know if you're married or not.
Oh, yes.
You're married? What is your wife's name?
My wife's name is Gail.
Gail,
And I have three daughters.
Wow, how old are they?
Our oldest daughter will turn 32 in May.
That's
she
May,
lives
May
in,
what?
In May 8th.
Okay.
She lives in Minneapolis and is married, got married last fall at a little farmette in Sogan Valley. I've got a set of twins. We've got a set of twins that are 28, and one lives in Los Angeles, and one lives in London.
Wow.
And some fun places to visit.
Oh, yeah. Well, it'll be interesting when you tell me about you and your wife when the girls were 14, 15, 16.
Yes.
excuse my snort, but
those years.
The look on your face just made me laugh.
Yep, those years. We just refer to them.
Everybody understands.
Yep.
We are going to take a break, and we're going to come back and get one more song out of my guest this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Thanks for listening.
It's time to stop smoking once and for all by attending the next Mark Patrick Hypnosis Seminar in Northfield. In just 2 hours, you can finally become a lifelong non-smoker. Regardless of your past experience or how long you've been smoking, this program is designed so you can stop smoking without anxiety, irritability, or gaining weight. For only $49.99, you can become a non-smoker through hypnosis. Tuesday, March 13th at the Archer House River Inn, 212 Division Street in Northfield, from 8 to 10 p.m. Registration begins at 7:30. Seating is limited, so get there early to reserve your spot. All forms of payment are accepted. Or for more information, go to markpatrickseminars.com. Over 500,000 have attended their program. Try it. It can work for you. Almost everyone knows someone who stopped smoking using hypnosis. Now that someone can be you. Attend the Mark Patrick Seminar, Tuesday, March 13th at the Archer House River Inn, 212 Division Street in Northfield, and use the power of hypnosis to stop smoking now.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
Hey, you know what? I use Cannon Valley Water when they deliver my salt, and they carry that down on their shoulders, and I don't have to, and they fill my water conditioner. And, of course, I get that nice Candy Ojai water. It's good for your pots and your pans, your plants, your pets, and for you. That's Cannon Valley. They're out there in Dundas, out where my guest lives here. In the Bridgewater Township era. My guest this morning, again, is Reed Hendershot. I keep wanting to say Henderson. Hendershot. And he's on his Taylor guitar. And he's done, I think, 4 songs. And this will be number 5. What have you picked out for us?
Well, since it's getting time to leave, I'll play Travelin' Shoes by Bill Staines.
Okay.
Hand me down my traveling shoes, I got a long way to go. A long way to go, and I've no time. I've no time to lose. Well, there's a road that I haven't seen. So hand me down my traveling shoes. There's a road that I haven't seen. So hand me down my traveling shoes. Hand me down my walking cane. I've got a long way to go. Long way to go, moving like a wind, up and out across the plains. Well, there's a town that I haven't seen, so hand me down my walking cane. There's a town that I haven't seen, so hand me down my walking cane. And when the sun's upon my shoulder, I will wash within its light. Through the years as I grow older, I'll take comfort from the sight of a young one's eyes. Early morning skies, just one tiny bird taking flight. Hand me down my driving wheel. I've got a long way to go. A long way to go, moving on. Moving on these tracks of steel. Oh, there's a place that I haven't been. So hand me down my driving wheel. There's a place that I haven't been. So hand me down my driving wheel. And it's a restless kind of burning that drives me up and round the bend. Like a child, I'll keep on learning till my time is at an end. And I'll fade away and I'll hear me say, I'll say softly to my friends, hand me down my traveling shoes. I got a long way to go, a long way to go, and I've no time, I've no time to lose. It's just a place that I haven't been, so hand me down my traveling shoes. Just a place that I haven't been, so hand me down my traveling shoes.
Wow, what timing you have. Hey, by the way, I have to say that Bill Stein's one of your favorite writers, knows how to write. Boy, those are interesting remarks that you do during those songs. Now, here's what happened. We have to finish up talking about your working with the state of Minnesota and being a firefighter and what that was like and all the other things that you did. And then you went to corporate or whatever you might call it, and I don't understand any of that. What do you call it, the lumber industry?
Oh, yeah,
or
it was the wood products industry.
Wood product industry.
Yep.
And boro is something that is something done to a tree by an insect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're going to come out and look at that wood for me.
Oh, you bet.
All right. And then we'll talk about when you got married. We'll talk about having those children. And we'll talk about how you ended up in Northfield, Minnesota.
Yeah, we're still kind of wondering.
Yeah, well, we're going to find out, and we'll work together and find another date for you. And will you come in?
I would.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. I want to thank you very much. Your middle name is Philip? Peter?
Peter.
Okay. Yep. Reed P. Hendershot from Reed Hendershot's Woods and Music. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, it's been my fun. Thank you, folks, for listening to The Wayne Eddy Affair on the 95.1 FM. And, of course, we want to say 1080 AM, been around for almost 50 years. KYMN, broadcasting live from Northfield, Minnesota. Let's turn things over.
Let us help you maximize your earnings with a certificate of deposit from Community Resource Bank. Invest in a 60-month CD at 2% or a 48-month at 1.75 annual percentage yield, or choose a 54-month bump option at 1.70% APY. Get the best deposit rates around with Community Resource Bank in Northfield, Cannon Falls, and Roseville. Good bankers, good friends. $25,000 minimum deposit required. Penalty for early withdrawal may reduce earnings. Other rates and terms are available. Member FDIC.
The KYMN Climate Show is a monthly feature here on 95.1 The One and AM 1080, discussing changes in climate and the science behind it. And now, your hosts, Alan Anderson and Bruce Moreland.
Welcome to the KYMN Climate Show with Bruce Moreland and Al Anderson, where we discuss climate issues in the news and then dig into the science behind those stories. Bruce is at another engagement today, but I've got a special guest, and I'd like to welcome Dr. Gary Wagenbach. Dr. Wagenbach, the Winifred and Atherton Bean Professor of Biology, Science, Technology, and Society, Emeritus, taught biology and environmental studies at Carleton College for 39 years. Gary was a leader in off-campus studies, directing ecology-oriented programs in Bermuda, California, New Zealand, Australia, and Tanzania, including work on coral reefs. His on-campus courses included biology of invertebrates, parasitism, and symbiosis, and courses in environmental and technology studies. He directed Carleton's concentration in environmental and technology studies for 4 years, until retiring in 2008. His research interests include water quality issues and threatened species of freshwater mussels. His most recent project involves teacher training and K-12 curriculum development for a bilingual, and that's English and Burmese, school, the Lumbini Academy, located in Yangon, Myanmar. Gary and his wife, Linda, live on 80 acres of woodland near Strand, Wisconsin. Welcome, Gary.
Great to be here, Alan.
So, Gary, we're going to jump right into this and Today we're going to be talking a lot about your experience with coral reefs and things related to that. But first, can you just give us a little background about how you ended up in the field that you're in and how you got to Carleton?
Thank you, Alan. I studied at the University of Wisconsin at Madison and had the opportunity while there to learn about creatures that live in water, lakes, marshes, rivers, and then the opportunity to study at the University of Washington to study, learn about marine biology. And then I was offered a position at Carleton. And it didn't take long at Carleton for me to realize that there was an opportunity to study in Bermuda when a colleague, ecology colleague, suggested that, oh, here's a piece of paper with an invitation to